Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories.
Sweet memories.
Oh, what joy, oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I love.
With my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious
years
of memory.
A memory.
Oh, what joy.
With my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
graves.
Just a minute, folks. I ain't gonna get it. Oh, it's a mess with the address. I can't get it. So. Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us. Now, Father, we ask the Spirit to take us into the depth of this your word, giving us the truth and the strength and the power of your word, Father, so that we can walk straighter, reach out further in helping others to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now be with us throughout the remainder of this service. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Going to be talking to you from Acts chapter 10. It's a pretty long chapter, really. About 40-some verses. A lot of it will be just reading. because it doesn't change and take us in to two different many areas and subjects. But in studying God's Word, all of it is important. Now, so let's begin here with verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, the centurion of the band called the Italian band. Now, when we really look at Cornelius, he was a Roman soldier, really. And he was kind of an important man, and he's important to you and I for several reasons. Because he was the first known Gentile to be saved. Now, we're told here in these first few verses about it, a little bit about him. Verse 2 says he was a devout man and one that feareth God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This devout man, the meaning of that is that he was a Gentile. He worshiped in a synagogue, but not the ways the Jews did, because he was uncircumcised. They weren't allowed to have anything to do with it. The Jew was not allowed to associate with Gentiles that wasn't circumcised. Yet he was a man that loved God. Now, he wasn't saved yet, but he did love God, and he worshiped God according to the way the law was given. And a centurion ordinarily was a man that was over about 100 other men in the army. But with him, it tells us that he actually could have been over more people than that. But we do know that he had at least 100 men under him. One of the important things was is because here in the early church, it was that he was not allowed to worship as the Jews worship, because he was uncircumcised. But also, he was one that did love the Lord God. Now, in God dealing with him, we find here, verse 3, said he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Now, a vision that God gives you would be just like you and I sitting across from each other, me seeing you, yet you're not physically there. I'm seeing you as if I'm seeing you in a dream, and yet I'm not asleep, I'm not dreaming. But I'm still seeing these things. Now, verse 4 goes on to tell us, says, and when he looked on him, when he looked on this angel, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. You see, his alms, in other words, his giving, he was giving to the poor, to the church and all, But then he was spending time in prayer. He said he's come up before memorial before God. This is God's way of dealing with him to get him really where he belongs to, where God wants him. Verse 5 tells us and says, now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. He sent him after the apostle Peter. Now, in 6 he said, he lodgeth with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtst to do. Now he's telling him, you see, God could have told him outright. But you see, God's plans are not always like our plans. He does everything, and he does it with a reason. Cornelius is not going to be the only one to benefit from this. Peter, the one he's sending to, is also going to benefit from this, plus others around. Now, verse 7, and when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now he's sending these three men to Joppa after Peter, as he's been instructed to do. But now you see, Cornelius is not the only one God is having to deal with to get this work done. Now, he's with Peter. It says here, now says, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That's in the afternoon. He's up on the housetop now to pray. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. In other words, he's getting ready to have a vision too. God's getting ready to give Peter one now. And he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts, creeping things and fowl of the air. He's seeing all these animals now on this sheet. And here in 13, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, he's hungry. And he's seeing these. And he's being told now to raise and kill one and eat. But Peter, not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. You see, back under the law, Mosaic law, there was a lot of the animals that were unclean that mankind was not allowed to eat back then. Now, today we eat most anything because God made it all clean. But back then, it was unclean from deep. They couldn't eat pig. They didn't eat ham like we do. But for you and I, it's not wrong for us to eat ham because that hog has been cleaned up now. All right, now, Peter told him that he's never eaten anything common or unclean. 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common. What God cleansed, don't you call it common. Now, why do you think he's telling Peter this especially this way. He's telling this way because he's got three men coming that are not Jews that Peter ordinarily would have nothing to do with them, because to the Jews, the Gentiles in that day and time were uncircumcised, and they knew nothing about God at all. But you see, God is wanting this man. That's why he had him to send for Peter. Now he's having to take care of Peter and let Peter know, I'm doing this. Don't you call them common or unclean. Now, 16. This was done thrice, three times. That sheet was shown to him. And three times God told him not to call common or unclean. Now, then it was received up again into heaven. And says 17 says, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. These men are there. And they called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. They're doing what they were sent to do. 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. This is why Peter had seen these things on the sheet, why he had been told what God had cleansed for him not to call them common and unclean. Because ordinarily, he would not have went with these men. Because to the Jewish people, they were unclean. Now, he's letting him know, I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? He's asking them now, why are you here? 22. They said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Now, before God put Peter through all of this with that sheet, there ain't no way Peter would have went with them, let alone went in that house. Because in that day and time, they were not allowed. No, they could not go into a Gentile house. Now, but God has told Peter, I've sent them. So don't you call them common or unclean. Now, 23. Then called he them in and lodged them. He kept them with him all night. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, he's even got a few other Jewish brothers with him, taking them with him. We don't know who they were because they were not told. 24. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends, he'd called a lot of people in to hear Peter. And now Peter's not facing just this centurion. you know. But he's facing a lot of them in this house. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." You see, this is another thing that warns you and I about so much pride, us having so much pride. Instead of giving God the glory, we take the glory. No, that won't work. Now, he's letting them know, I also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. He found many, he said. And we know that God, Peter, know you do now what you're supposed to do. I have cleansed everything. Everything is straight because I've got new plans. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. This is Peter now talking to the centurion. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common nor unclean. Any man. We need today to be very careful how we look at other people. Even if we can know that they're sinners. Well, we know that we can't do the things they do. We can't associate with them for the things they do. But we need to be praying for them because we are to love them and hold them in prayer, praying that they will find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We don't like the sin that they do, but we have to love that sinner. This is a good lesson that's being taught here. Because for years, the Jewish people could have nothing to do with the Gentiles. The Gentiles had nothing to do about God. They didn't know anything about God. They were all uncircumcised and all that. The Jewish men could not have nothing to do with it. Now, but we are seeing this change made. 29, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me? Why have you sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. What about our prayers today? Do we really have a prayer life, and are they being heard? Yes, he hears them. And if your prayer is not being answered, then what's wrong? That's what you got to find out. Why? If they're not being answered. But our prayers should be in accordance with his word. Not for things outside of his word. Now, 32. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, the tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Now here's a man that prayed to God. He gave alms to the church and all, and helped the poor and everything. But you see, God is answering in a different way. Why? Because everything was about to change. Because you see, Cornelius is to be the first Gentile saved. 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We're here to hear everything God gives you to share with us. That's what you're telling Peter here. Now, in 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. See, all this, you're this, so I can't have nothing to do with you, and you're that, can't have nothing to do with you. No, this is all changing. And God is using these two. Well, there's more now than two involved, but the two he went to in these visions. He's using them to get the job done. 35. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, of all men, of all nations. Now, 37, that word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is what we are needing in the church today. And we're seeing very, very little of it in our churches. As I was just telling you earlier, before we started the services, within a stretch of 4 miles, 6 churches, 5 of them not holding meetings, 3 are closed permanent, and 2 not holding services as they should. We have 1 white church that hadn't had a meeting in a couple of weekends that we know of. The black church up here hasn't had a meeting now in about 5 or 6 weeks. It's because the church back 50, 60 years back began to teach things that are contrary to the Word of God. When mankind began to say within himself, we don't need it. We don't need to go to church because they ain't no better than we are. And for the most part, they were right. And that is a sad, sad thing. And we're seeing right now, one of the churches that didn't meet today, that hadn't met for the past two Sundays that I know of, they were down to meeting just once a week when the pastor took a notion to come out to hold services, because the pastor lives in Louisville. He had to drive all this way, but they also had a woman pastor, which shouldn't have happened. Because since she's been there, it's been continuing, losing membership. Because you see, the Word of God's not there. Now, here we go. Verse 39. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Yeah, Peter's letting them know now about Jesus being crucified. Because you see, Cornelius has now got to come out from under law and come under the church, new church age, and come under the church that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. But now he's got to be covered by the blood of Jesus. You see, under the law, this was John's ministry. John was born a few months before Jesus, and he was to help make a way for Jesus and help to prepare the way for him because of this change that was coming. But he also had to act under the law. That's why he baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he baptized you for repentance. You're not baptized today for repentance. You're baptized to put Jesus on. You're baptized to put on his death and his resurrection and to bring him in to live in you. That's why you're baptized today. That's why you're told to be baptized in his name, the name of Jesus. We've already seen that a couple of times getting this for, and we're going to see more about that as we go on through this book of Acts. And we're also going to find out that you don't get everything all at one time just because you want it that way. Now, it can happen. Because like I said, Jesus works in his way. But most usually, no, it don't happen. All at one, you don't get baptized with the Holy Spirit and all at the same time. Just automatic, like a lot of churches right now are teaching. Now, him God raised up on the third day, and showed him openly. He's preaching Jesus here now to this Gentile's home, to him and his home, and all those he has invited in. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. But we know they did. They spent 40 days with Jesus before he went back to be with God for his ascension, because he was getting them ready for this change and the new age church time to begin, which happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Jesus will be your judge. When you step out of this life and into the next, and come judgment day, Jesus will be your judge. Now, 43, to give him all the prophets, witnesses, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. That's where you get your remission of sins. You see, that's where you repent. You don't repent at baptism. You repent when you go to Jesus Christ. And you ask him, Lord, I am a sinner. And I'm asking you, Father, to forgive all of my sins, known and those I've even forgotten. But Lord, forgive all of my sins. And Lord, come into my life, because I want to be yours. You're repenting, and you're inviting him then into your life. That's where your remission is. When you're baptized into his death and his resurrection. And we find that in the sixth chapter of Romans, which I have read to you before. So I'm not going there right now. We may get there before we get to the book back, but still, right now, we're not going there. Now, 44. Now listen to this. Because this is good. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. What happened to them? The Holy Ghost fell on them. They've been filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. They hadn't been baptized in water yet. You see, God works different. But you have to have all things. Now, they've got to undergo baptism in water yet. Now, they've already got the Holy Spirit. 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. All them that came with Peter to this Gentile's home, they're astonished now than seeing all this. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter. Now, not only have they been filled with the Holy Spirit, but they've even spoke with tongues. But notice this next verse. Peter's asking, says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? You see, they still got to be baptized. So they still got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they've already been filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So you can't sit back and say that there is only one way that God works in giving you these things. 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now they've been baptized. They've been baptized how? Not in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but they are being baptized in Jesus' name. because no other name are we given by under heaven this day and time than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way of salvation for you and I. It's all there. But you see, most usually when we sit down to read, we read it like a storybook, and we read it so fast, we don't really see what it's saying. That's why I've been telling all of you, when you sit down to read your Bible, pray first. Take it and pray first. Ask God, Lord, while I'm reading, speak to me. And then read it out loud and read it slowly. Make sure you're reading it just verse by verse and reading slow enough to see really what God is revealing to you from that verse. This is why, and I've always told you all, that my ministry is a teaching ministry. That's what God gave me. You won't see me running around the house, jumping up and down, jumping chairs. There was a time I did. Yeah. There was a time I even jumped the rail. It was around the platform. Scared a young man death sitting in the front row. He thought I'd go and jump on his lap. But you know something? I found out all of that ain't the Holy Spirit. Because we are to teach this word. But otherwise, you're not going to get anything out of it. And when we take and read it slowly, read it out loud to ourselves, God will talk to you. And the Spirit will talk to you, the Holy Spirit will talk to you because you're giving him time to do it. That's why he tells us those that don't have the Holy Spirit can read this, just sit and read it many, many, many times through one cover to the other and never understand the thing about it. Never know the first truth because they're against sin. And the Spirit's not giving them, as they're reading it, he's not giving them anything. Oh, yeah, they're hearing words, but that's all they're hearing, words. Have no meaning to it. Like he was talking there about baptizing in Jesus' name. Well, like I said, if you know the word, then you know to go to Acts chapter 6 and it'll tell you what happens when you're baptized. It'll tell you what's taking place when you're baptized. And it ain't got nothing to do with repentance. Not a thing. In fact, let's go ahead here and take a look at it. Since I'm sitting here, and we've got a few minutes here, let's go here and take a look at it. Romans chapter 6, 7, 6. Now, he's telling us here, with this, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Forbid. Why does God forbid us to sin? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How'd you get dead to sin? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's how you got it. That's how you got to work. You got dead to sin because you took on Jesus' death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. That's what baptizing does for you. When you're put down in that water, you're being buried to Christ. baptism with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, as you come up out of that water, you're being raised in his resurrection. As Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted, well, how did you plant it? By baptism. Together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You're putting on everything of him, his death, his resurrection, and you're bringing him in to live inside you. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You see, it's all in God's word. That's why we need the church and why we need the study of God's word. But we need the church that is teaching God's word and not one just getting up and telling a lot of stories and doing a lot of fancy talk. Fancy talking ain't getting you nothing but a lot of trouble. That's exactly. Because it's going to lead you astray. We don't need all that. Yeah. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for times that we can come together to show our love one for the other and to help each other to grow strong in faith, strong in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, strong in our love for you, Father, and strong in our love for the Holy Spirit. Help us all, Father, to walk according to your word upon that pathway of righteousness. Help us to reach out, Father, to help others to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they too, Father, can make heaven their home and not be at all. We know, Father, that there'll be many, many, many walk that road of destruction. Your word tells us that. And it also tells us that there'll be few that will walk that straight and narrow road of righteousness. We don't know how many will be lost. We don't know how many will be saved. But we do know there's going to be more lost than saved, Father. We don't want to be one of them. We want to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to serve as you want us to serve, to do the work you want us to do, to reach out to others, Father. Help us in this ministry to heal others of their sicknesses, their diseases. Help us to bring about knowledge and wisdom, the knowledge of your word, the wisdom to use it, to work with us, Father, to help those that are in need, clothing and shelter, so that they too, Father, can see your love. Because, Father, let your love glow and shine through us so that when others see us, they are seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us all throughout this night. And for Brother James, Brother Terry, for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for myself, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for Sue, for Dave Branson, for Cliff Lassiter, Father, and for this other little church. Father, may the Holy Spirit work with all of us and our families, so that these churches, Father, will not have to be closed, that they can be working and be full, Father, because they are needed. We know it. We know that you know, Father. Now use us in great, mighty ways, Father. Use each and every one of us. Watch over us through this next few days, Father. Days and nights. Keeping us safe. Keeping us in health. And help us, Father, to work together to bring this land to repentance so it can be healed. And our government put back upon the foundation in which it was founded. That being back upon your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we do pray for peace for Jerusalem and Israel. But more than that, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, that one day Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. Now, Father, be with us all. We ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. I'll be meeting with her Wednesday night. And I got to thinking while ago, I don't know when Cliff's going to get out of the hospital. He wasn't sure, but he's hoping to get out tomorrow. He said he was doing a lot better. His pain's a lot better now. And the inflammation that was caused from his spurs is just about gone. And he's still on some antibiotic. And I told him I'm praying for him, and I am. But I'd like to have this church down here because it's got everything where we can really build. I mean, we've got kitchen, dining room. We've got Sunday school rooms. We've got an office. Got everything. It's got everything in it. The other one, we'd miss mainly there right now, is going to be restricted with parking. It's sort of growing. But when I'm there Wednesday, in fact, I'll probably go a little early because I want to really look around the outside. I want to see if there can be more parking made because it sits kind of on a downgrade. And I want to see, you know. But right now, I'd say probably four cars would be the most in front of. Well, we got that many already. Now, I do know that there can be a couple parked up there in front of the garage, which ain't too full. So it could be used. But I want to look around the side, down the side of it and around the back to see if there can't be some parking made around it, around the side and around the back, because it can be, well, then we'll have plenty of parking. Now, she was telling me, she called me this evening, because I was talking to the man that bought it, He lives in Texas. He's got a cell phone from up here. I called him in Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, on a 270 number. That's right here. And because this is where his phone is from. So anyway, I was talking to Dale, that's his name, and he bought the house for his daughter. Told her she seemed like a nice young lady. And it's just her and a 7-year-old son. I don't know what's happened with the boy's dad or nothing. I don't know anything about her. Other than she's got a 7-year-old son. She told me she did. Anyway, she figures on coming to church. Learn her son. But anyway, she's also a fitness expert. She does all this physical workout and all. And all. That's the way she makes her living. Which her dad wasn't paid for property. Which I knew that. I knew that even before I talked to him. But as he said, he bought it, but she's supposed to be paying back in payments. Yeah, you know how that goes with dads. Yeah. He said, you know, he said, I'm not one just to buy and give it to them. But he said, they need to stand on their own feet. And I met her brother, because he was there. I started, one of them, I had been talking to April about selling this property here and taking it and buying that house. And the reason I was talking to April is because actually when Livy passes away, this goes to her two girls, this property. So it's like I told them, if we do that, that property, like I told you, that house is a lot bigger than this one. Property is worth a lot more money than this. Here, be lucky to get $75,000 out of it. That over there, that property, well over $100,000 right now. And with a little cleaned up and all around it, it could be worth even a whole lot more than that. There's 5 buildings on that place over there. Yeah, nice buildings. And I asked her about it, and I told her I wanted, when they come down to see her mother, to get with me, I'd take them to show them the property so they could see, you know, what it is. Then I told her, I said, you know, that way y'all would be better off, because you could get more out of that than you get out of this one. So then I was going to go talk to Alex, too, because he's one of the holding the estate. And I know what he told me I could get that for. Well, I could get $75,000 out of this one. And that would give me even enough to pay for that and have enough to do the cleanup and everything that needs to be done over there, the repair on the church and all. Because Alex told me I could get that for $60,000. That's a good deal. And even Alex was going on about it. Why he didn't buy it, I'll never know. But anyway, well, for one, he's got so much now that he can't keep up with it. Anyway, I was going to go by and talk to him about it, see about making the deal. Well, I better go by and see if, because I knew that the guy in Texas was supposed to buy it, but then I had been told that he had backed out. But he didn't. Anyway, I thought, well, I better go by there and just see if anybody is over there, Miss Jan. And when I got there, I seen two pickup trucks in there. So I pulled in there. And the man that bought it lived there in Texas. His son was there. So I was calling him. He was there cleaning up the outside. That's what he was doing. He's one gave me his dad's phone number in Texas to talk to him, not the church. Well, he said, yeah, I know. They were talking about getting somebody to take the church. So anyway, I talked to him, and he told me, he said, well, my daughter's one going to be living. And the property is mainly hers. He said, so need to talk with her. He said, I'll give her your phone number. And he said, I'll have her call you today. It was supposed to be yesterday. But evidently, she was gone. But anyway, she didn't call me until this evening. She called me in between time for church. Because he knew my church times, too. I told him. Then she was telling me. So I was supposed to meet her at 5:30 Wednesday evening at church. And we're going to talk about what needs to be done at along the church and how to get it done, things that way, and what I'm willing to do, you know,
yes,
and not do, and see then what they're going to ask, you know, whether they're going to be charging me rent, or if I'm just going to be paying utilities and stuff that way, you know, an upkeep on, which that's only recent. But anyhow, and then this morning, Dennis got here and we were talking. He was telling me that the church where we just left, we're going to Shoemate, on Friday and Saturday nights, they're having parties.
Eight parties.
He said big parties.
Oh.
He said not church. He said any church service.
Yeah.
It's big parties.
Yeah.
He said that's at 10:30 and 11:00 at night.
Yeah.
He said, I don't know what time to start because he just comes in from work and that's the time he gets to come in. And he passes by there and sees him.
He rented out the party.
And, huh?
He's renting out.
Well, he seems to think it's her husband holding.
Oh.
Now, I do know that through the week, because I go through there during the day, and most usually, there's one of these garbage cans set in front of the front door.
Oh, okay.
But he said this is on Friday and Saturday nights. And they're holding big parties. He said there'd be 6 to 8 cars there. Well, I know even when we was holding searches, you know, there was always people going back there in the back. Even while search is going on, you see several go back there. And also, they say he's a party guy. So, her husband. She said she wanted something else. So. I guess that's what it was.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Well, you be careful going home.
All right. I'm going to get out of here before we get to walk the dog.
You know, it's going to be dark.
Yeah. Days are getting longer, though.
Yeah. They're beginning to get longer.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Marty. You take it. You have a good night.
Thanks.
All right.
Well, ain't that bad yet.
Days are getting longer.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll talk to you later then.
All right, you take care.